Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. I'd like to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 31.
Druga knjiga Mojsijeva, 31. glava.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and the furniture, and the pure candlestick with all its furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and all the clothes of service, and all the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his son to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. I'd like to conclude reading with verse 11 in the scriptures. I did not know earlier this week. I received a text from one of your serving brothers, and I wasn't sure as far as what I'd be meditating on. 1 week prior, I listened to Brother Louis' sermon here, and he had preached on the Beatitudes, and I had just started a sermon series in the church in Medina where I've been pastoring for each month, going there for the past 13 or 14 months. And so I'd started that there. And in the following few weeks, a brother went there and preached on the very same series I was going to be preaching on and did it very well. There was no reason to add. And so in my mind, I felt that the Lord was redirecting me. And then this brother in his text mentioned, you know, that you would be having a business meeting afterwards and that we wouldn't be able to fellowship as much as we normally would on a Sunday afternoon. And then I was stirred within myself to think that since this church here is going to be thinking about the business of the church, that my mind went to what is a church and how a church is empowered and what gives the church its voice. And that Monday, as I was going to work, I was in my ear pods in my ears as I was traveling along 71, and in my reading through the Bible with our family, I was listening to this very chapter, chapter 31. And the Lord confirmed to me, based on the text and here, that it's always good to read from God's Word. Any part of God's Word is valid to preach upon and to teach upon at any time. But I felt that this was something that could be of use to any church, but And it was very moving to me what had happened here. And it also, in chapter 35 of this same Exodus, we see a very similar account in verses 30 through 35, where there also is this very same work that God gives and to his people. And so the question that I would have for all of us, when you think about your life in this church, in the church that God has given you, do you feel that the talents that you have are aligned with the job that you have been given? Do you feel that you are adequately prepared for the work that God has given unto you? Do you feel that you have what it takes? And what was so awesome to me as I was reading this, we find in verse 3 that God was talking to these gentlemen and was calling them by name. And he said, I have filled them, verse 3, with the Spirit of God. And God specifically filled these people with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. And I thought to myself, well, God equipped them with all manner of wisdom and workmanship and understanding and knowledge. And I thought, what were some of the other instances in the Bible where God did that? And one of the more common ones that I thought about was Samson. Samson was a superhero of the day. Superhuman strength. Was able to decimate people with the jawbone of a donkey. To kill 1,000 Philistines. He was able to supernaturally do this. We can go back in the Old Testament and think about Solomon. Only Jesus Christ would exceed him in knowledge and understanding. Solomon was so wise that people, Queen of Sheba, from lands far away, came and listened to him to see what he had to say. So God, we know, in the Old Testament, gave superhuman, super abilities to people, to his own people. And he would also even do this to people that maybe weren't his own people, that weren't part of the covenant people. We know when Balaam cursed the Israelites, or didn't want to curse them, and God specifically used Balaam, even though he wasn't an Israelite, but God used him with power and authority, and he would not curse Israel because God said not to. And so we see that in the Old Testament, that there's evidence that God supernaturally does things, supernaturally gives people the ability to do things. And so we see here that in Israel, when they were ready to build the tabernacle, God had intricate detail. And if you go on in Exodus, you'll see how God intricately had all these details. And when you're listening to this, when you're reading through the Bible, or you're reading it or listening to it, sometimes you can become a little, it can be hard to listen to, or you maybe just drone off because there's a lot of detail that God has. But God specifically has empowered us and empowered his own people to devise cunning works, works in gold and silver and in brass, in the cutting of stones, verse 5, and to set them in the carving of timber to work all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, have given in this Aholiab, he gave him wise heart and wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded. And what did they make? They made the tabernacle, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat, all the furniture in the tabernacle. Brothers and sisters, God empowered them so that they would be able to worship him. God empowered them so that they would bring all these talents and all these gifts to God, and it would help, and everybody benefited from that. And in the church of God, everybody benefits from all the various talents that are given out there, given to all of us. And so the question that I would have is, brothers and sisters, how has God empowered this church? You know, I don't pretend to know, and I will never pretend to know. I I know about my own local church in Mansfield. I'm getting much more familiar with the church in Medina. It's a significantly smaller church, much easier to get to know. But when we get to a much larger congregation such as you have, there are those questions that we have to have, that we have to have and have to think about. How is God working in your midst? How is God working with you? And so as you think of, and I don't know of what's going to be happening with your business meeting. I don't know what things are voted on. But nevertheless, there are choices that need to be made. There are decisions that need to be made. And the question is, how does God equip the church? How does God equip the church here on this earth? Well, brothers and sisters, as the church of God, we are the body of Christ here on this earth. In fact, Jesus, when it was time for him to go, he said, I must needs go. Why? So that the Holy Spirit would be able to come unto you. And so the Holy Spirit comes into every believer the moment that they truly believe, that he have faith, and he supernaturally empowers us to be image bearers. Even without Jesus Christ in our life in the person of the Holy Spirit, we are image bearers of God. Everywhere that you and I go, brothers and sisters, we bear the image of Jesus Christ. And as born-again believers, we ought to continue to bear the image of Jesus Christ more and more and more every day. And in the body of Christ, God equips us all to work together. The church is not one person. It's not the church of Irwin Webble. It's not the church just even of West Akron, but it's the entirety of the body of Christ working together. And we need each other. Individually, I cannot, you cannot function effectively as a church. I don't have, nor did God ordain, give us individually each all the talents that we need to be an effective Christian. He gave us the entirety of the church so that we all together could work together with our various talents that God has given us. Just like he gave these various individuals here all these talents to work all these craftsmanship and the wisdom to make the decisions. And we know that Moses was given such wisdom to make these decisions, and that even his father-in-law said, hey, Moses, you got to make some sort of appellate court system. You've got to devise a way so that you could only handle the heavy cases, and so that people in your church, in the Israelite community, those that were well esteemed, that were knowledgeable, they would take the smaller cases, and if the things would escalate, they could escalate through the court system all the way to Moses, to which would be in today's term would be the Supreme Court. And so the question that we always need to have is, how is God working? And how does God work this out on a practical level? So we know that God empowers us. That's fine. But how does that impact us on a practical level? And the scripture that I would want to think about is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The important thing for us to remember, brothers and sisters, is it is God that empowers us specifically. Sometimes we think that we are the ones that make people a good treasurer, we make people a good preacher, we make people an elder, we make people a trustee. We think that we have that authority to do that. We are the ones that give that position. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like to read a few verses as we go through this. And what I would like to bring out and bring out the thesis today and the thinking that I have based on the Word of God is that it is God that does this. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes this, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. When we read the Scripture, if we see a line that is repeated often, it's oftentimes done for emphasis. Like when Jesus would say, verily, verily, truly, truly, when he would say that, he was trying to identify that this thing is important. I want you to be very cognizant of this. So Jesus says this. So the Apostle Paul says this, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. So we see the word same. Same Spirit, same Lord. There are diversities of operations, verse 6. But it is the same God. So now we have same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Didn't even see that until now. But there is a huge implication of the Trinity. Now we know in the Scriptures the Trinity is never explicitly mentioned. But the doctrine of the Trinity is riddled throughout all of Scripture. And we see here that the Apostle Paul writes that they are the same Lord. Verse 4, same Spirit. Verse 5, same Lord. Verse 6, the same God. These are the same. They are, just as we know, Jesus truly God and truly man. And we see the beauty of that, the coherency of that. That's why Jesus had to leave, so that the Spirit could come. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the gifts that you are given, the gifts that I am given in a church that God gives out by the same Spirit is to profit all of us. And so when we withhold it, or when we don't come, or when we choose not to, the entire body is hurt. We may not feel it, we may not know it, but when we withhold our gift, when we withhold our tithe, when we withhold our talent, when we withhold our time, the entire body suffers. I suffer. I've mentioned this to my home church in Mansfield, where on a Wednesday night, maybe you have the same issue from time to time here as well, that we are much smaller in number on a Wednesday night. And the encouragement that I have is that I miss out on the blessing that you give to me when you are not here. And I would suppose that the same would go, that you miss out on the blessing that I give. And most of the time when I'm in Mansfield, when I'm there, we have four ministers, so three of the times I am not preaching. I am blessed when I hear. I am blessed when I'm sitting with other brothers and sisters. I am blessed when I'm engaging in conversation, when we're encouraging, when we're discussing, when we're challenging each other. That's what the body of Christ is for. It's to profit all of us. And for all of us to profit, brothers and sisters, we need to be here and be with one another. And then this is what the Apostle Paul says. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Then he goes on in verse 9, to another the faith of the same Spirit, to another the gifts of the healing by the same Spirit. So now he's not just going from God or the Lord, he's now saying the Spirit. Why? Because in every one of us, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is in us and empowering us. He is in us and empowering us. Now the Spirit is in us. To another, faith by the same Spirit, verse 9. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Paul is not writing this by the inspiration of God and repeating it just because he wants to fill the pages of Scriptures with words. It's for emphasis. It's for emphasis that this is the same Spirit that is doing this. To another, the word, and then he leaves off the same Spirit. Verse 10, to the working of miracles, he leaves off the same Spirit. To another, the prophecies. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse of tongues. Another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Brothers and sisters, in verse 11, we have the almost like the knockout punch. This is the knockout punch that tells us what Paul is saying here. That everyone, that in the church, it is God that dividing or passing out. So God is the sovereign God that passes out the gifts. It's not you, it's not me. God is giving the gifts out severally. The word severally is individually. We don't use severally very often. He individually equips you. And what this does is when we know that he individually equips us, it takes away the desire for us to have the other gifts that someone else has, the other status that someone else has, and gifts to be able to administer, whether it's even financial. Someone else might have some financial capabilities that we don't have. And if we read this and we see, oh, it's God who has done that. And if I'm jealous of that brother or that sister that has that talent, that has that ability, or has that wealth, then what I'm basically saying is, God, you didn't individually pass it out to the right person. You made a mistake. And brothers and sisters, God does not make a mistake. He never makes mistakes. And so he goes on to talk about the whole body and how the diversity of the body. And we see that in verse 18, it says, but now God has set, and this is even more clear, sometimes Paul knows that we have a tendency to desire like the showier gifts, the ones that everybody can see, the ones that everybody knows, we have that tendency as humans. It's just how we're wired. It's something that we have to fight against. And so Paul says, for greater emphasis again, but now has God set the members, every one of them, verse 18, in the body, not as it's pleased me. It may not please me that something is happening a certain way. It may not please me that someone is doing a certain task. But I have to be submissive. I have to be submissive to God's will. And Paul says this, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Pleased who? It pleased God. So it is God that gives out the gifts. It is God that does this. So then, now that we have that in mind, where do we go from here? Well, what is the church's job? The church's job, brothers and sisters, is to identify the gifts that God has given. And you might think, well, are you kind of just making that up? No. Titus 1:5 says this, and I'm going to use this. He's specifically talking about preachers and teachers in the scripture, elders and shepherds. There's a very little distinction between elders and shepherds and teachers and preachers in the Word of God. So this is for that, but we're going to expand it to other jobs in the church. So the Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, says this, chapter 1, verse 5, for this cause left the I in Crete, that thou shouldest set order things that are wanting, that are needing, that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So it was Titus's job to ordain, to appoint. Another word for ordain is to appoint. How we do it, it varied in different times through different administrations, how to do this, but it is the church's job to do this. And so my encouragement, brothers and sisters, is that our job is to identify. For us to identify, we have to know each other. There has to be an avenue for us to express, to use our talents. And we do this through the various ministries that we have in this church, whether it's Sunday school or other administrations that go on, where we can see the talents that brothers and sisters have. The talents so that the church would go, so that the church would function as a well-oiled machine, it's a body. And so the Apostle Paul says that we need to ordain. So the church's job and Paul's job administering it to Titus is, Titus, look and ordain. And we know that, well, how do you know that he had to identify? Because there are specific tasks. There are specific that are delineated in the scripture that an elder or a deacon or a pastor should be. And so the brothers that he would appoint, the brothers that he would ordain, they would have to have these characteristics. They would have to have those. So our job, brothers and sisters, and your job as a church is to identify that. We do not declare. We do not make that. God does the making. God does the gifting. Our job, your job, brothers and sisters, is to look out and see, who is that? Who is that gifted brother and such? Who has the ability? Who has the care for administration? Who has the care for compassion? In our church, we have a compassion committee or a caring committee that helps distribute monies and care for people that are poor, brothers and sisters that are poor, particularly in the church. And so they have to be more sensitive because they take care of the needs of if somebody is not able to pay a bill or somebody has fallen on hard times. It is their task. And, you know, if somebody knows of something, we would share it with them. And they would do the looking into it and seeing what the needs are and where they see the need to fill the needs. And so you, for that type of person, you would need somebody to be more discreet, that wouldn't be sharing with everybody the problems or, yeah, did you hear so-and-so? They're down on their luck and they need a little bit of this and need a little bit of that. You see how that would be inappropriate. So in our mind, in your mind's eye, you would find someone, you would ordain someone, vote someone in, however the method that we would use, that would fill that task, that would fill that prescription. And so, brothers and sisters, our job as a church is to find that, is to identify that, to have our eyes open. This is not just something that we pray, and I prayed about it, and this brother came to my mind. If it's just a random prayer, and we better make sure that the thing that like the scripture says, make sure that the spirits that we are listening to are the spirit, is the spirit of God. And the way we do that is we match the scripture and say, okay, the scripture says this brother should be this way, this sister should be this way, and then I know the job description that's here. I'm gonna use our mind, like just, I think it was Isaiah that said, come, let us reason together. Our job as believers is to reason together through the scriptures based on the word of God. That's the church's job. Now it comes to, brothers and sisters, what is our job? I remember when I sat in front of the church here in Mansfield, and I remember one of the brother elder that asked me, he says, you know, what would you be willing to do for the church? The answer that we were always encouraged, coached, taught to say was anything. And that's a good answer. Because we really don't know. I really didn't know as a 16-year-old, I didn't know what I would be good at. I didn't know the things that I would do. I didn't know whether I would teach or be a trustee or direct in front Sunday school or anything. But I was willing, and we need to be willing servants to try things. When I was first converted, we all went through a class and we were all taught how to lead. There's one thing that you probably will never see me lead unless nearly every male dies, is you'll probably never see me lead in front of the church, song service. But I was willing to try it, and I tried it. It was not that good, but they asked me again, and I knew it wasn't my talent. I'm not that good. I'm not even adequate. So I did try. But it wasn't really going to work. And so sometime I stood in front of the Sunday school one time, and we only sing 3 songs in Mansfield for our Sunday school. We're not a singing church that much. But stood in front of the Sunday school, and I held the book, and it's very difficult to do this. I did not move one appendage while I was leading. They never asked me again. I share this with you because there are some things that we are not good at. And as believers, it's probably good for us as to see, is there something that I am going to be good at? Try it. Maybe it's helping out in a kitchen. Maybe it's starting a ministry. Maybe it's starting a Bible study. Maybe it's whatever this church needs. Whatever you see that you need, talk to each other and see, is there there's a need for it? I know that with the many Ukrainians that have come here, there has been a need for translation into the Romanian language. And it's neat to see that that has happened through people asking questions and saying, how do we spiritually make sure that these brothers and sisters are fed? And that happens. It's so beautiful to see that that's how the body of Christ should work. And the way you know that is you try. You try your hand. And maybe those that know Romanian and you try, can I translate into Romanian? Maybe you find it's very difficult. And that's why I'm very thankful one of the brothers that translates, I hope I've tried to slow down a little bit. This is not full speed preaching, but said, if you can a little bit slow down so I can translate a little bit more adequately. But without trying a little bit, some of these brothers would not know, am I good at that? So we as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, just like when we were asked that question, what would we be willing to do? We need to be willing to see where God would use us. We may not even know the talents that we have. Maybe we're going to be the best finger on planet Earth in the church. Maybe we're going to be the best heart. Maybe we're going to be the best eye. But brothers and sisters, the encouragement that we have from God's word is that we are to be continually, continually trying, seeing where God wants us. Where does God want you? Because we are the bride of Christ. We are, some for many people, the only Jesus they will ever see. And it takes an entire church, it takes an entire body of believers to function as the body of Christ. And when one of us is not doing the job that God has ordained us to do, and when we as a church are not visually, spiritually, are not identifying the ones that God has already ordained, the one that God has already equipped, the church of God suffers. And so my encouragement is that we put on more and more spiritual eyes, that we look and see what the scripture says, and we identify, we put away our own biases, our own, you know, likings. And there's a lot of people that we're drawn to some and we're drawn to some less, but we need to be always guided by the word of God and be able to identify who it is that God is ordaining, who God has already gifted. And to my unconverted friend, being part of the church is a wonderful experience. Because when God calls us home, while he does call us home individually, he's always calling the church. And I asked Brother John who preached this morning, and he mentioned it was Romans 16, and immediately he reconfirmed. He said it's a little bit of a strange chapter because there's a lot of greetings in that. There's not much deep theology in Romans chapter 16. But I know it confirmed what I believe the Lord was leading to me this afternoon to preach on when he said all the diversity of differences of people and what was going on in the church there and this person and greeting this person and greeting that person. And there was a diversity in that church in Rome that the Apostle Paul was saying, greet these people and all these people, how important every single one of us is. And my unconverted friend is, being part of the church means that you will be in heaven. The only ones that will be in heaven are those that are part of the body of believers. And my encouragement to you, my exhortation based on the word of God is Brother Louis's prayer, he talked about the great exchange that occurs. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he said, for he has made him to be sin for us. When we become part of the body of Christ, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, he made him to be sin for us. Our sin was placed on the cross. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. And the righteousness of Christ, that perfect life that he led, was given to us. And we are free and clear of the guilt and the sin that we have incurred. And we are free and clear never to be charged of those offenses evermore, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that is in the church. That's the beauty of the church. Brothers and sisters, we are in the church. We are functioning in the church. What a joy it is to be part of the church. And my unconverted friend, come join the blood-stained band. Join the church of God, the bride of Christ.
The word that we heard this afternoon, that we have read, the prayer that we prayed together, as a brother led us in the prayer, we have been called to a unity in Christ. We have been called to work with that which God has given unto us. And what God has given unto us, no man can say, well, I didn't receive anything. Because if we read this chapter here, at the close of it, it says that Moses, when God had made an end with Moses of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, he took two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And this was given to Moses to give to the people. So every person in the camp had received the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. His law is his wisdom. And we read in verse 6 as we had read, he talks about that he had given him Aholibad, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. He says, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Well, we read in 2 Corinthians 3:3, it says that, it says, for much as ye are manifested, that ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So upon the fleshly tables of our heart, by the finger of God, he imparted unto you and to me wisdom. And that wisdom that he had imparted unto us, we are responsible, we are empowered with which to carry out the work which he has done. These two men that he had called to this work, they were bricklayers in Egypt. They were bricklayers and masons. That's not to take anything away from bricklayer and a mason, but it's a far different work than creating this fine, exquisite furniture and with gold and layering and all the things that they were told to do in the building of the tabernacle of the temple. But he gave them the empowerment to do that. We are called to such a high work also. And God imparted unto us his wisdom, his ability to perform his work. I'd like to just because this really does tie together very nicely with the chapter that we read this morning. I'd like to just share with you a verse that I shared with the brothers this morning after the service. Because Apostle Paul was asking, salute this brother, salute this sister, salute. And he's naming all these names, as Brother John mentioned. These names appear, and then they flame out and never hear from them again. These are men that were carrying on the work of the Spirit of God that was given unto them. And Paul recognized them. But more than all the countless names of the saints that we are never read about, and our names will never be read about, but they're read in the heaven upon that day when Christ will reunite and bring his church together. But it says here, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It says, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God. And he says, for he that in these things serveth Christ, in what? In righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You serve Christ in these things, he says, he is acceptable to God and approved of men. That means all those names that we read, they were approved by men, by Paul. Why? Because they served God acceptably in righteousness, in peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have that imparted unto us, and we are called to a high calling in Christ Jesus. And so let these words that we heard this morning and this afternoon and all of our worship together, they bring us to that service to our Lord, because what he imparts unto us, he sanctifies us, as he did this man that we read about. I can't even remember his name already, but God had sanctified him for the work of the building of this tabernacle. He has sanctified us for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God bless each one of us as we go and carry on and do his work. Amen.